right now, I'm joined on the phone by Joseph Torres. He's Government Relations Manager of Free Press, and he's joining me to talk about the fact that FCC Chairman Kevin Martin is rushing to eliminate longstanding media ownership limits before the end of this year. Hello, Joe.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for joining me today. What I want to start off with is if you can just give us an overview of what exactly it is that FCC Chairman Kevin Martin has done. What do you think he's trying to do?
Well, the FCC for the past five or six years, have been trying to relax our nation's broadcast ownership rules. First with former FCC Commissioner Michael Powell back in 2002-2003. He tried to deregulate the rules back then. But in June of 2003, the FCC actually voted to relax media ownership rules that would allow one company to own up to a newspaper, three television stations, eight radio stations, and a local cable system in the same market. Those rules were remanded. They were taken to court, the FCC, by public interest groups, and the courts in 2004 remanded those rules. And so since then, the state of broadcast media ownership has been in flux. Kevin Martin became the chair, and he began a proceeding last year to try once again to take a crack at relaxing our nation's broadcast ownership rules. And basically, essentially, that's what he's trying to do. He is trying to allow for further concentration, consolidation to happen in local markets throughout the country.
If this is being kept from the public, as it seems that it largely is, then how are you even aware of the details of what Kevin Martin's up to?
Well, it gets covered in the trade press. There is a large trade publication that covers these agencies, that covers the FCC, like Com Daily and Broadcasting and Cable. But they're read by Washington insiders and major businesses and corporations who, this is their game, is to try to keep tabs, keep up with what's going on at the FCC. But your average everyday mainstream newspaper or television station, It is not carried. It is not carried or discussed or covered. So you're right. It's hard for the average everyday person to engage in these issues. But within the Beltway, within D.C., the lobbyists and the major corporations are very much engaged.
And can you give me exactly what the specifics are that Kevin Martin is proposing, and what the process would be to pass new rules?
Well, it's part of the big problem in how our government does not work in an open way. The fact is that we have an idea of the kind of rules he wants to pass, but he has opened up an ownership proceeding. So last year the FCC began to re-examine our nation's broadcast ownership rules, but he has not put out for comment yet what rules he's proposing to change. So we really have no idea what are the rules that he is actually seeking to change. We anticipate he's trying to get rid of what is known as the newspaper broadcast, newspaper television cross ownership ban. Right now, a company is not allowed to own a newspaper and a TV or radio station in the same market, unless under some cities that's happened because of these companies receive waivers and been grandfathered in. But for the most part, a company's not allowed to own a newspaper and television station in the same market. We believe that that's the exact rule that he wants to get rid of the most. But we do not know that for sure because he has not put a notice out of the rules he wants to change. And that's part of the problem. He has not given the public enough time to actually openly debate the merits of the changes that he is seeking.
And the whatever changes he is seeking, what is the process to change the existing rules?
So the process is this. What will happen is the FCC will put out a notice of they'll put out the rules out for comment. Right now, he'll come up with the rules and he'll say, I believe that we ought to get rid of the newspaper cross ownership ban and X amount of markets, and he'll ask the public to comment on it. And he'll give the public a certain amount of time to comment on it. And then after everyone comments on it, whatever amount of days he specifies, the FCC gets together, five commissioners, three Republicans, two Democrats. Whoever's in power controls the votes. the number of folks from the administration on the FCC. And once he seeks public comment, the FCC just votes. These five members vote, and however the vote falls is the way it determines the actual rule changes. So, you know, he can go just a straight party line vote at 3-2, and these changes, these dramatic changes will happen, we believe, potentially, if we anticipate that he's going to try to get rid of the newspaper cross-ownership ban, are going to happen throughout the country. It has huge implications for large and small markets throughout the country.
What are those implications? What is your concern with this removal of that ban? I mean, what's the problem with owning a newspaper and a radio station or a radio station and a TV station in the same market?
Well, from the very beginning of the history of our broadcast regulation, you know, the public owns the airwaves. That's a company receives a license, a free license to broadcast on public airwaves, and in return they're supposed to be able to serve a public interest. This has been debated for a long time, but a diversity of voices within a market, a diversity of viewpoints, where you have different viewpoints representing the different perspectives of a community, is what we believe makes up a healthy media market. And when you allow for further consolidation, you decrease the number of antagonistic voices who have different views on an issue, particularly with the newspaper. The newspaper is particularly problematic because in any given city, the newspaper is the one media outlet that employs the most journalists. And so if you're saying the dominant, in most newspapers, like 80% of the markets throughout the country only have one newspaper, one daily newspaper. So if you're saying that daily newspaper that employs the majority of reporters now owns the top two or three television stations that also have a newscast, and radio stations, and some of them may have newscasts as well, you essentially are the dominant viewpoint in that city that's producing news. And that's really a problem for us.
Did you say you receive a free license?
Yeah, the license to broadcast, the radio and television stations, the license that the companies receive, it's a free license. That license is free. It's a... That's why the public owns the airwaves. The companies do not pay that license they receive to broadcast.
Well, then how come it costs so much money to... I mean, this is a pirate radio station, in case you...
Right.
I didn't know if you were aware of that or not.
I wasn't aware of that, but...
and I'm not saying it's the only reason, but one of the reasons is that it's prohibitively expensive to get a license.
Right.
But it's not the license you're paying for? I mean, I don't understand. Is it all the engineering and the studies and things? How does somebody get a free license?
Well, you know, see what happened, these licenses were given out a long time ago to incumbent companies, and since then they're able to sell their companies, and the companies, when they sell a company, the FCC has to approve these mergers. And so these licenses that have been given out a long time ago continue to change hands. And the SEC has to approve whatever company is being sold to the existing licenses they have. The SEC has to approve to be able to transfer that license to the new company that's taken over. So, but it's still, the license is free, and it has to be renewed every 8 years. And every 8 years, the SEC can, if it determines, can take away a license if they think it's not serving the public interest.
Are you talking just about television? Are you talking about
television and radio? Television and radio. Mm. So, if a radio station, if the FCC doesn't believe that the company that operates that station, that holds that license, is serving the public interest, they technically can remove take away the license. But they never do that. They never do that. So that's why I would say that the license is free. They have to serve a public interest, but rarely, it's only a couple of times in our nation's history where a broadcaster's license was actually revoked.
Mm-hmm. And all of this, all of these decisions are influenced by who's in leadership, if they're appointing the FCC commissioners. then right. they're setting the tone for right, the overall yeah. policy and the decision making that goes on.
Exactly, the FCC is the is the body that regulates the broadcast and telecom industry
under yeah. the administration that's in power.
Exactly, under the administration that's in power.
And there's a majority of Republicans on the FCC right now.
Currently, right, 3-2.
Uh huh. So, what has been the reaction? I know that 40 members of the House wrote a letter to Kevin right. Martin asking the commission to, quote, resolve significant shortcomings in the agency's plan regarding accountability, transparency, and scientific integrity, unquote, within right. the current media ownership proceeding. So some members of the House are speaking out. What is some of the other reaction that's gone on to this?
Well, the other big issue that there's a question that the FCC has not conducted this current ownership proceeding with total transparency. There's these studies that the FCC commissioned and were released back in July that we just questioned the methodology used and the data that was used and the fact that they didn't make the data to conduct these studies available for public review from outsiders so we can reproduce those studies to determine whether they were accurate. You know, just, you know, basically fact checking the work of the FCC. The other really big issue for us is the issue of minority ownership. Minority ownership continues to be in jeopardy and crisis in this country. And yet the FCC has never in its history ever accurately counted the number of minority and female ownership of television radio stations in this country. People of color own just 3% of all TV stations and 8% of all radio stations in this country. Women only own, meanwhile, people of color make up 35% of the population. Women only own 5% of local TV stations and 6% of radio stations, and they make up 51% of the population. So clearly, those who the majority of the U.S. population, that's the women and people of color make up the majority of the U.S. population by far, and yet they're the least likely to actually own and operate a radio television station. And we're saying that's unacceptable. The SEC cannot go forward with further relaxing the rules until it addresses this crisis.
Relaxing the rules, basically, resulting in a further consolidation of media into fewer hands.
Into fewer hands, right. So more is being controlled by less and less companies.
So there is a localism hearing being held by the FCC tomorrow, though, right? So they are making some attempt to get public input, isn't that right?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends. Well, I would say that they are holding hearings. What happened is there's a localism proceeding going on right now, but this proceeding was initiated after the FCC in 2003 failed to study the issue of localism properly, which means how do companies in a local market serve their audience. And so because they've really failed to address this back in 2003 when they were trying to rewrite the rules the first time, they started this localism proceeding. And under the proceeding, they said they're going to hold a certain amount of hearings throughout the country. They actually held one in Monterey, California, a few years ago. So this is the last of the hearings that they said that they promised they were going to hold. And the reason it's significant is because Kevin Martin, the FCC chairman, has to finish this proceeding, this localism proceeding that they began a few years ago, before he can move forward with his decision, with putting out new rules to you know, new ownership rules. So there's a certain amount of tasks that he needs to accomplish before, a couple of loose ends he needs to tie up before he moves forward. But we're concerned that, here you have that hundreds and thousands of people who have come out to these hearings in total throughout the years. But we're concerned that, the vast majority oppose further consolidation. Our fear is that their voices at the end of the day are that the chairman's going to ignore them and move forward with the plan to relax the rules that he already has envisioned.
It says on this website, stopbigmedia.com, that...
Right.
This hearing that's happening tomorrow in Washington, D.C. was announced at the last minute, and that this is just another way that the FCC is trying to shut people out of the process, and that probably many people haven't even heard of this public hearing that's happening.
That's right. I mean, that's by law, the FCC only is to hold a hearing like this, they're allowed to announce it within 5 business days of that hearing. And we're saying, why wait to the very last minute to announce it? If you want, you will hold a public hearing and you want public input, give as much time as possible. Hold it during an hour or two that folks are not working. This is the first time they actually held it during the course of a day. They normally held these localism hearings in late afternoon, where it allowed people to leave work early or on the way home from work to stop by and, you know, and voice their opinion. So the fact is that they are structured this way is real troublesome for us, that this is not an inclusive way. This is not really truly a way to honestly try to receive public input. It's trying to minimize the number of dissenting voices and to make it as hard as possible for people to actually come out and comment. So this is what we believe.
And is Free Press going to be at these hearings tomorrow?
Yeah, we're not only going to be at the hearings, we're also organizing a rally prior to the hearing outside of the FCC, where like Reverend Jackson and some members of Congress are going to voice their concerns about the FCC and the process they have undertaken to rewrite these ownership. We're just concerned that the FCC is moving forward with the issue of allowing further media consolidation without truly studying its impact, particularly to people of color and women. And so this rally out there is gonna address that, and also again address the fact that they have really reduced they try to prevent public input by only announcing it a few days before the hearing that a hearing was going to happen.
Is there anything positive happening on the media front in government right now?
Yes, there is. Today, in the Senate, I'm sure this is something that your station will be thrilled about, that the Senate passed out of committee a bill to increase the number of low-power FM radio stations throughout the country. And so now, hopefully, we'll get a floor vote. And in the House, we hope to have a good markup out of committee of the LPFM bill as well, which is, that's something that's positive.
Mm-hmm. And the name of that bill, is it just?
It's in the Senate, S-1675, and in the House is... It's a bill sponsored by in the Senate. It's sponsored by McCain and Cantwell. In the House, it's sponsored by Congressman Lee Terry and Mike Doyle.
And that would expand the number of LPF low power FM stations that potentially could
throughout the country. Right, it would lift the restrictions on how far away where can you issue a license for an LPFM station. The fact that you can license it in more suburban, urban areas that are closer to a full power station.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, is there anything that you want to add that we missed today, Joe?
No, I should say go to Stop Big Media. Key track it is. We have a lot of different web tools up there, which people can make their voices heard by filing comments, by filing a letter, by sending a letter, sign on to our activist sheet so you can get the latest email updates. And, I mean, so here I am in D.C., part of Free Press, which is a national nonprofit group where we try to educate the public about these very, very these media and telecom issues. We have an outreach team that tries to take these very complex issues, because they are complex, particularly when you get into the telecom side, and put it in a way in which the average person can understand why this is important to their lives. Then we have a policy team that goes up to the Hill to try to truly represent the public interest on these issues. And we, you know, we're not an organization that has a PAC that gives money to members of Congress to try to influence the vote. But when we go up there, we do say, hey, we know that you received 200 letters from your constituents saying support low-power radio or get hands off the internet, make sure that you support network neutrality. And that really makes a difference when we go up there, when they know that people, that the constituents are watching. That's a very powerful tool for us. And so I'll say, you know, if you care about this issue, go to freepress.net or our other website, which is Stop Big Media. Sign up, learn about these issues, read about it. Ask your members of Congress about this issue. Make this issue, make media an issue in elections. If you have the potential to ask a presidential candidate, ask the presidential candidate, ask the governor, ask a mayor's race, ask it whatever you can on how politicians are going to safeguard our democracy by ensuring that the public continues to have access to the airways and actually that you shouldn't have to be a pirate radio station, you know, to be on the air. You should the license to operate a radio station should be more accessible to the average person, and you don't have to have all this money to actually purchase a station, because you can get on the radio. It doesn't have to be an expensive venture to get on the radio, but you know, but the way the system's set up now, you have to be very wealthy or have major corporations in order to operate a station. So get involved, make media a central issue in whatever issue you care about, the war, or you care about the environment, or whatever issue you care about. The media is the filter that all these issues are seen through. So continue to fight for media justice.
One last question, because I was listening to you talk about LPFM, low-power FM, and whatnot. Those licenses also cost a lot of money to obtain. Maybe not the license itself, but all of the studies that you have done, and just the whole process can cost, my understanding, it can cost up to $20,000, which is kind of prohibitive for a lot of small nonprofits or other community groups. So, you know, that still wouldn't necessarily be the answer for, there'd still be people who felt the need to take to the airwaves.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's 20 may be a little expensive on the expensive side, but there is some upfront cost. But once and those obstacles are not nearly, I mean, trying to raise $10,000 to $20,000, it may be prohibitive for a lot of people, but it's not nearly as prohibitive as trying to raise $20 million or $30 million for a station. So it really puts it more in arm's reach of a larger amount of people, so many more people potentially. I mean, we work closely with the Prometheus Radio Project, and you know, they go around the country building low power FM stations. So it's the upfront cost, because once you have that station up and running, it really doesn't cost a lot to maintain that station.
Unless you violate one of the FCC rules and you get fined.
Well, I mean, you know, so far there's like 800 LPFM stations that have been on the air, and that have gone on the air since 2000, and, you know, there hasn't been really much of an issue with these LPFM stations. So, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, I'm not saying this is the silver bullet, because we should be able to have, to gain access to operate full power radio stations, you know.
Right.
I mean,
just small 100 watts.
Yeah, and a small 100 watt station, 3 to 5 mile radius. We should, we should think bigger than that. And it serves its purpose. I mean, low power FM is an incredibly important medium that has saved lives, that has informed people. I mean, it's performed an incredibly important public service. But you know, it shouldn't just be limited to our ability to have access to the media, to own the part of the airwaves. Shouldn't be limited to low power FM. It should be also expanded so we can operate full power stations. So
maybe it shouldn't be commercial.
It should be non-commercial. There should be greater non-commercial radio stations.
Maybe there shouldn't be any commercial radio or television.
Yep. I mean, I'll take more non-commercial stations. We'll see one day where we get to as a country. But, you know, there's no reason why we can't have greater non-commercial radio stations, more number. So, commercialism, definitely, in my opinion, the way the commercial radio is now, it definitely has, I mean, we don't see news anymore on the radio. It's not cost-effective to produce, producing news, that people are getting rid of newscast.
And if you do see it, it's often very much kind of created, it's made into entertainment.
It's infotainment, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's infotainment. It's not anything that you can really use to help you in your life. So, I mean, I'm definitely agree with that. So, so basically, make media an issue, a political issue, an electoral issue. That's what I would say to your listeners.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Joseph Torres.
Thank you for having me.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Again, that was Joe Torres, Government Relations Manager of Free Press. And if you want more information about what we were discussing, again, the main news being that Kevin Martin, the chairman of the FCC, is trying to gut media ownership limits, and Free Press is trying to stop it. Check it out, stopbigmedia.com, freepress.net. There's a rally in Washington, D.C. tomorrow. There's a localism hearing in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, and you can't be there most likely, but you can take action at stopbigmedia.com and at freepress.net. Thanks so much for listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1 FM.